Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio. I am your host, Valerie Zaslow, along with my co-hosts, Alana Bergavoy.
Hi, everybody.
And Renee Mazur.
Hello.
This is the second season of Jewish Singles Radio, where our goal is to bring Jewish men and women together and build an engaging, like-minded community where we can connect and have authentic, meaningful conversation about dating after 40.
If you're divorced, widowed, a single parent, or maybe you have never been married, not only will you meet new people through the age-old art of conversation, you will also learn a lot. On every show, we will be talking with dating coaches, health and wellness experts, matchmakers, religious leaders, educators, and of course, other single people, so we get all of their perspectives.
We understand that managing modern dating and navigating single life is not easy, and our goal is to provide you with lots of valuable information and have some fun along the way. If you have questions for any of us or for any of our experts on the show, or if you would like to be a guest on the show, give us a call. The number is 888-329-3306.
So if you are Jewish and single, or single and look to meet someone Jewish, let's talk about it. You can listen to Jewish Singles Radio live every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. Or you can hear the streaming show online at WWDBAM.com and wherever you get your podcasts. So today we are talking about how to know if you're wasting your time on the wrong man, and how to attract the type of person that you actually want to date. And for all of our women who are listening, we are really excited to be getting all of the answers from a man's point of view on today's show. So our guest is Evan Mark Katz. He is a professional dating coach who has been helping singles since 2003. He is known as the personal trainer for smart, strong, successful women. He's the author of 4 books, most recently Believe in Love, and has been featured in hundreds of media outlets, including USA Today, The New York Times, Time Magazine, and CNN. Since 2015, Evan's blog has over 30 million readers. His Love You podcast has over 1 million downloads, and 12,000 women have graduated from the Love You 6-month video course that helps women understand men and find love. Evan's happily married, and he is joining us from Los Angeles, where he lives with his wife and 2 children. So welcome, Evan. We are so excited to have you here with us.
Appreciate you having me. Thanks for allowing me to meet your audience and hopefully share some value.
Absolutely. So, you know, the first thing that we usually do is ask how you got started in this, on this path and in your career. And I actually, you know, in doing my research, you had an interesting story to tell about having had worked for JDate a few times, actually. So maybe you can let us all in on, you know, how you became so involved with Jewish singles.
I think, like most people's careers, it was a series of happy accidents. It wasn't some plan from before, you know, I was 30. I was an unemployed screenwriter who needed a day job. And I got a job answering phones at JDate in customer service. Getting yelled at by Yentas was pretty much the job description, to which I'm not particularly temperamentally suited. And after about a year of it, I realized I knew more about online dating than anybody I was talking to on the phone. They were calling because they lost a password, but I'd say, hey, let's look at your profile. Hey, let's check out your photos. How often are you logging in? And I just offered more help than you'd expect from a customer service representative. And after a year of it, I wrote a book called I Can't Believe I'm Buying This Book, A Common Sense Guide to Successful Internet Dating. And unlike my Hollywood career, the book did well. And suddenly, you know, I was on the Today Show and in you know, CNN and whatnot, and dropped out of film school and built this business, this made-up job where there was no such thing 20 years ago called the dating coach, and I was the first one to do it, and just kept on iterating. While I was building this dating coaching practice, I was still doing things with JDate. I created their online magazine known as JMag back in the day. I don't know if it still exists. I worked in their travel and events department. I came to JDate trips. You know, they do singles events around the world, and I offered dating coaching. So I probably did four different stints with JDate, but very much like a ill-fated relationship with someone that you love, we were not meant to be as a couple. That's why we kept on breaking up.
And interestingly enough, I understand that you also created a company, or one of the first companies that helped people to create their online dating profiles, right? And help them. I mean,
yeah,
you're a writer.
That was the original business. It was before I was a dating coach. The original business idea is called eCyrano, eCyrano.com. I remember taking my George W. Bush tax credit in 2003 when I was unemployed and paying a professional to write a resume for me. So I started this business writing online dating profiles for people 20 years ago. And that business is still going. It's a very small piece of what I do, but I still do that.
I think we hear from so many women about what to write if they, you know, are capturing their essence in what they're putting out there on any dating platform. And they also feel that the men, you know, sometimes they don't share as much as they would like, or they share way too much. But that the men don't really read what they write. That it's really based on the pictures that are there. And then, you know, inevitably it ends up not being a connection, because I guess people, I don't know, you can tell me, are they people not writing the right thing? Are they not conveying the correct information about themselves on these profiles? Or is it just that, you know, people just really don't care? It's much more superficial than that. They just want to get to the date.
Well, it's a great question with a multifaceted answer, if you want the full answer.
Absolutely.
So, you know, back in the day, old school online dating, which I still advocate for. I still advocate for JDate and Match and OkCupid, going on a desktop, reading full length profiles, looking through pictures, going right, really the way you'd hire someone, you really want to look at the full resume. The issue, of course, is that we've moved to apps. Apps don't have much written information. You don't need a professional profile for an app. You only have a couple sentences to say anything. So apps have taken an already shallow medium like online dating and removed any pretense of depth. They've removed the written profile, and they've removed writing full-length emails. So it's now swiping on a picture, sending a one-line text, and then wondering, why is this so hard? Well, we've removed the depth from it. So there's the medium itself, which doesn't lend itself to it. If you're going to use a medium like a JDate, where you have a chance to write a full-length profile, I think most people are terrible at it. No disrespect to anybody who's listening to this, whose profile is not that great. We write profiles in a way that is not conducive to producing the best results. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can. We tend to write lists. We tend to write adjectives. We tend to write cliches. We tend to write what we don't want. What we're not doing is writing the kind of ad that's going to attract the highest quality person, which is an ad that focuses on what the reader gets out of dating you. It's marketing 101, and nobody does it.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're not into sales, right? I mean, it's all about selling yourself, honestly. And
it is, but nobody does it.
Right.
So, for example, if you're a woman and you're reading a guy's dating profile, and he says very reasonably, I'm a nice guy. I'm looking for love. I like hiking, biking, movies, music, and travel. Best friend, lover, and partner in crime. These are things that. This is not stupid people language. This is normal, properly spelled and hopelessly generic. If that guy removed his list of things and said, I'd cut out of work early on Friday to pick up your mom from the hospital after her breast biopsy. I know that sounds like a crazy thing to put in the profile, but.
No, I know that they're there. But, you know, the thing is like, I was just, my next question was, so why are so many women struggling to meet men? And I mean, and clearly that's part of the reason, right?
Well, I mean, that we're focusing on one side of it. This the thing that I'm diagnosing is not unique to men. Men may be worse at it if you're a woman, but if you're a man, you're still dealing with the same stuff. Most mm-hmm. people don't write profiles that are appealing to the opposite sex. They write a diary entry. They write a professional bio. They'll give you a list of every country they've been to and every band they've ever listened to, and they never explain why you'd be a great addition to their life. And so, again, I'm a coach for women, and so I focus on what women can control. Complaining about men is a pretty fruitless endeavor. Even if it's a valid one, it's a fruitless one.
What do you mean, what women can control?
You can't control men. Nothing we say on today's conversation is, if we're talking largely to women, being a dating coach doesn't change men or New York City or J-Date or Bumble. Complaining doesn't solve any problems. So I'm always focused on a tangible, results-oriented solution to, in spite of what you observe with dating sites, your city or men, what can we do proactively to produce a different result?
Yeah, so, and like you say, we're all pretty much the same, right? I mean, we all want to be accepted, yeah. appreciated, understood, and of course, loved. And that's the ultimate goal. So, you know, how do you go about finding what I will call your last first date, especially in your 40s or 50s?
You're piling a lot onto those questions.
You can break it down. I mean, we only have a limited amount of time. So I'm sorry that they're a little broad-based.
It's okay. It's a great question. It's an important question. It's also one that I spend about 6 months answering with my clients because there's not a quick fix. I think almost, and again, I'm not jabbing at you. It's a very reasonable question, but I think the question itself is almost indicative of what the problem is. We're trying, you know, the story about how do you eat an elephant, right? Like, you don't try to put the whole thing in your mouth at once. You start with like a bite. I think people are going online trying to find a husband, and that's not the right order of things. What you're trying mm-hmm. to do is sort out all the people who are completely inappropriate for you, right? Which is going to be 90% of people, and then say, how do I make the best of the 10%?
Right? Well, that's exhausting sounding. It's like a full-time job.
It's not a full-time job. You could turn it into a full-time job, but no more than going on a diet is a full-time job. Or doing a half hour of cardio a day is a full-time job. These are things that we can integrate into our lives. And then it's my profession, is to help people figure out how to date online for a half hour a day, get one date a week, and learn from that process to smooth it out, to have better experiences so dating could be fun and fruitful, and there's an organic growth to it instead of this feeling like you're running in place with no clue what's going on. So it's kind of like working with a personal trainer who's monitoring you, because left to our own devices, you know, we're not good at this. We have other jobs. So the same way you'd outsource to a plumber instead of finding a YouTube video, my job is to kind of take this entire overwhelming process, and instead of saying, I want to find a husband after the age of 50. Well, where do we start? Well, we start with belief. We start with mindset. The entire first month of my course, we don't do any dating. We just try to get rid of all this negativity.
When you're talking about how you want to market it, like, this is the benefit of dating me in the profile, what benefits are guys looking for that women should emphasize? Like, I'm a great cook. Things like that. Like, what are those things? Like, specifically, you're writing a profile for somebody and telling them the things about them the guys are going to want to
benefit from?
I would be pleased to tell you the exact eCyrano formula. I don't want to spend so much time on online dating because there's so many more interesting things to talk about. But
okay.
if you want to know exactly what we do, it's very simple. Think of the five words you would use to describe yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can do it with me right now. Think of the five words you use to describe yourself, the most important words that say the most about you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of writing those words down, right, which is what most people do in their profile, nice, smart, kind, warm, funny. Don't do that. That's what everybody else does. Okay. Now take that adjective, right, and come up with an example of how some guy in your past has benefited from you being that way. So it's an example of how a man has benefited from your intelligence. It's an example of how a man has benefited from you being fun. So if I were to write a profile for my wife, which would be weird, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
If I were to describe my wife, I wouldn't say she's intelligent because adjectives are no good. Everybody uses the same ones. I wouldn't say she's intelligent because she graduated magna cum laude with a degree in math. That is useless to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say she's intelligent because she can make me a color-coded Excel spreadsheet that helps me prepare for my fantasy football draft. I'd say she's intelligent because she explains the plot of A Midsummer Night's Dream since I can't follow Shakespeare.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
So, you know,
I
think that's great, you know, advice. But I want to kind of change the focus a little bit, like you said, because one of the main things that you talk about is the fact that, you know, dating requires skills. And how do you develop good dating skills, especially if you've been in a relationship for years?
You're asking another really, really good question. Here's the thing. The answers are, I don't think they're complicated answers. How do you get good at anything?
Practice. Keep going.
You practice and you learn from your mistakes. I coach my son in basketball. He's really athletic. He doesn't like to practice, right? He's not really that good at dribbling. He's pretty good at shooting. What does he need to do more? He needs to practice his dribbling because he has a coach who watches over him and says, hey, you might want to practice your dribbling. I'm observing you. It's the same exact thing. Everybody has blind spots. Everybody's doing the best that they can. We can't see inside our blind spots. And so the way I can know your blind spots is by walking you through a process, right? Like giving someone a workout routine or a diet, walking you through an entire process such that there will be no blind spots left. I could teach you everything that I know. And if something's not working, we could talk about it. You could read to me, here's the email that I wrote to this guy, right? Here's the text exchange. Here's what happened at the first date when he tried to kiss me, and here's what I said. Like, people are doing the best they can, but they don't have anybody objective to bounce things off of. And that's, again, essentially what my job is. I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be, but I am objective. I work for women, but I don't just throw men under the bus. Sometimes a woman thinks a guy did something wrong, and I'll be like, that's not that bad. I could give you examples of these things, but I think it's really the same way you would go to a doctor and say, is this normal? And the doctor will be like, yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that, you know, women want to know about the men that they're dating before that they go on the date. But the problem, part of it is, I think the communication today is that, you know, everything is texting, and you kind of feel that it's impersonal when you're trying to get personal. So maybe you can, you know, and just talk a little bit about what kinds of things do you think that is important for women to know about the guy that they're going on a date with before they go on the date?
In Love You, we try to adhere to sort of old school principles. I don't know if this is too much to describe, but I know apps are ubiquitous. I know texting's ubiquitous. I try to push back against it as best I can. Just because everybody's doing something doesn't mean it works. I can't tell you how many people who complain how much texting sucks and apps suck, and they continue to use them.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to get people to connect the way they do in real life. You told me earlier, you know, something about you found my TED talk online. This the TED Talk outlines the exact same principle. We like real life. We like human connection. We like conversation. We like to have our eyes meet at a party, have a nice conversation, step outside, grab a drink, exchange phone numbers. This is organic. How do we make online dating feel, right? This awkward medium, how do we make it feel more organic? And if you could build up a little bit of trust and rapport and excitement and anticipation, right, via email, if it has to be text, then text, writing longer text, scheduling a phone call or a FaceTime prior to going on a first date. This doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. This could happen in less than a week, to go from dating site to email or text to phone call to date, right? That moves relatively fast, and you don't have to know something about someone before you're going on a date. Remember, you're not looking for a husband, right? You think mm-hmm. you're looking for a husband. What you're looking to do is to eliminate people via email and phone call so that you don't go on terrible dates. So if you have nice conversation with someone and he follows through and it's easy and it's playful and organic, now meet him for drinks on a Saturday night, wear something cute, and talk for 2 hours with no agenda whatsoever. If you have fun and you're comfortable and there's some attraction, and he asks you out again, then you go on a second date and you put one foot in front of the other instead of, is this guy my soulmate based on a 17-word profile and 2 photos?
So do you think that women want men to take the lead? Or, I mean, I think a lot of women have traditional values, what? Want a man to show their assertiveness, or do you encourage women to pick up the phone and call? I mean, this is the modern dating world that we're talking about.
I feel like we just glided past the last thing I said.
I know. I mean, yeah. Because there's so many questions. I'm sorry, but I just want to make sure that I as you're talking, sure. the wheels are spinning.
I got it. We could talk offline, my friend. We can continue the conversation. Because I really do want to provide. I told you, what did I say, 3 times? I just want to provide value. I just want to be able to help. And there's a process and there's a system, and it doesn't sound romantic, but we're not worried about anything other than, is this effective? Is this working for me? Right? We don't want to get caught up in right and wrong and he did this and I did that. No one's keeping score. Is what you're doing working? And the same way that, you know, I could tell you 100 things that men do wrong on first dates, and most women would sit there and nod their heads until their heads fell off, right? Wouldn't it be nice if there was a comment card where you could say, hey, man, reach for the check. Women like that, right? Don't talk trash about your exes. It's a bad look. Imagine a guy got comment cards that could tell him what he's doing wrong, right? The world would be a better place, wouldn't it, if guys knew how to date?
I have a real important
question.
So
all we're trying to do is show women how to do the exact same thing and use what would be considered best practices. So one of those best practices is, yes, you can initiate contact on a dating site, but not past that.
That was my question. I was going to say, because I believe strongly that a woman can originally contact a guy, but after that, she's got to not do that again. He has to be the initiator.
Right. Yep. Right. In Love You, we call it mirroring. Right. If you say something funny or clever on a dating site because he hasn't seen you or heard of you as an icebreaker, great. Now he has to drive it forward based on his efforts. And your job is to respond quickly, warmly, enthusiastically. There's no game playing. We're just not initiating contact. You should never have to remind a man you're alive.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the statement, albeit trite, men are from Mars, women are from Venus? We are wired differently, and how do we navigate that?
I feel like I should be a regular guest on your show, and we should take each of these questions for like an hour. All of your questions are these huge questions. Let's talk about the differences between men and women.
Well, I think women tend to read into everything, you know, overanalyze everything, from the amount of time it takes somebody to reply to a message to, you know, how he said goodbye on the date. And I hear a lot of my single friends all the time, kind of even, maybe it's, I would even say, a little bit of a nitpicking, but I guess it kind of helps you to weed out you know, what you like and don't like right from the get-go.
I mean, you can look at any issue from multiple angles and draw a conclusion. All I'm trying to share is that there is a bell curve of normal. And when there's a normal courtship process, right, one that has a good chance of leading to success, there's not much guesswork. Everything just flows. And everybody knows it, which is why we have to pay more attention to the 10% than the 90%. We get really, really upset. Right? The guy, I'm talking to 10 guys, but there's this one guy I like more than everybody else, but he's not texting me, mm-hmm. but he's online. And I'm going crazy. And it's like, okay, well, what does it tell you if he's not, if he's actively online and he hasn't followed up with you in 4 days? He's not properly motivated. He's not that interested in you. You're number five in his roster right now. He's got a busy week at work. We don't know what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. All we need to do is pay attention to how it feels. Guys who are interested and properly motivated follow through without much prodding. Every woman's gone out with a guy who's like, what are you doing tonight? How about tomorrow? How about this weekend? Are you dating anybody else? I'd like to take my profile down. Like, right. That's what they do
right.
by their own volition. And any guy who's not doing that is keeping his options open for something that he perceives as better, or he's not emotionally available, and it doesn't matter why. So part of dating is just being able to discern this is unacceptable treatment, right? If this guy hasn't escalated efforts in a month, he's probably not going to be your boyfriend.
Okay, so maybe they're doing all of those, you know, initial, making all the initial right moves in the beginning, and you're right. getting the signals that they're interested, but how do you know if you're wasting your time on the wrong guy?
It has to sustain and escalate. Right, that's the point. This isn't visual, it's radio, but if you saw me, I'm making a hand gesture. This 45-degree angle, my hand going up, we need to see an on-ramp. At the beginning, if you are swiping, he's swiping, everybody's got 5, 10, 20 people, right, in various forms of communication, you can't expect some stranger to commit to you because you think he's cute and he said something funny, right? Everybody has a million options. But after you go on a first date, we pay attention not just to comfort, fun, attraction on the first date, but how quickly does he follow up to say, I want to see you again. And it's not what happens on the date, it's what happens in between the dates. So many women judge men based on how much they liked him, how much attraction they had, right? And that's not the only judge. What kind of effort is he making to follow up in between dates? And it should escalate. Now there's a second date. Now there's a little physical contact. Now he's escalating even more. He texts you every day. He calls you once or twice during the week. He wants to see you multiple times a week. That ramps up over 4 to 6 weeks, at which point both people should feel comfortable taking down their profiles, calling themselves boyfriend, girlfriend, and having sex. It's a process. It doesn't happen instantly.
Right.
And so we need to give it time to develop and not put all our eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. You need to talk to 7 to 10 guys at once who are on various forms of communication, because if you just say, here's my favorite guy, I'm going to hold out for him, well, 9 times out of 10, he's not looking for you. And that's the way most people date. They anchor on one guy and hope that he pans out. And in Love You, you're the CEO and men are the interns applying for a job. You don't just take one resume. You need to have options.
Mm-hmm. I have a question on something you said before. You said that a woman's job after the initial contact is to follow up quickly, respond quickly, or whatever. If you don't, are you like making them want you more?
A man's job is to follow up.
No. When he calls you. No. You said he follows up, but then when you're supposed to respond to his follow-ups quickly.
Yeah, you have to be responsive. There's momentum in dating. Why would anybody? That's what I've never got about. Anybody who talks about playing games or the rules, oh my God, you know what's the worst thing to do? Play games.
Yeah, that's why I was asking the question, because you were going against that concept. That's what I meant. I didn't mean that. I know the girl should not initiate anything after the first date. But when he initiates, if you respond too quickly, is it not enough of a challenge for him?
No. Remember, he wrote to you. He wrote to you.
Okay.
You think there's a man who's like, I'm going to write to a woman and I hope she waits 48 hours before responding to me? He's a human being. Why would he want, you wouldn't want him to wait 48 hours. Why would he want to wait 48 hours? You want momentum. He initiates, you reply quickly, warmly, enthusiastically. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. What are you doing Saturday night? I don't know. Let me check my schedule. House 7. Like, this is, there's, it should feel like there's momentum. That's how you know it's working. If everybody's posturing and playing games, if guys wait 3 days after a first date so they don't seem desperate, mm-hmm. is that better for the world? So why would it be better if a woman played some similar bullshit games with a guy?
Because it'll make him feel like there's a chase and he's winning her because it's more of a challenge. I'm just asking.
No.
Doesn't like it.
No. The chase, the secret of mirroring is the whole point is you're not chasing. He initiated. All you did was respond. So you're not chasing if you respond to him. It's like when you call it. If you call a restaurant for reservations, they're not chasing your business if they call you back to confirm.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of women stress a lot about a lot of these things, or maybe even, I don't know if it's the small stuff, but, you know, I don't know, you know, if I should, you know, call him back right away. I don't know. These little things that we're talking about that you're saying, oh, this it's annoying, it's for some reason when you get to this place, it's just not common sense anymore after you've been married for so long.
Right.
But
it
goes to this. If I'm not interested in somebody and I don't get back to them right away, they like me more. That's all the reason I'm asking these questions. It's like you want what you can't have. Mm-hmm. Right? So, yes, he might want you to respond right away. But if you don't, does it make him want you more because he's like, why isn't she calling me? Because whenever I don't like a guy, he's constantly contacting me. So that's why I'm asking it. I'm like a woman's
I think you're twisting yourself around a little bit. Remember, let's go back to what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy reached out to you, he's thinking of you and wants to talk to you, he wants to communicate, he wants a reply. Mm-hmm. Making him wait, right, will only slow up that process.
Okay.
There's no benefit from playing games. All it will beget is more game playing.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't have to be a dating coach to appreciate the irony. I can't stand when guys play games. So here's the games I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. This is a no game zone. Just be authentic. Tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Let down your guard. Be vulnerable. It works. People like it.
And sometimes it's difficult and painful and stressful, and we're going to get into all of that. We are going to pause for a short break and come back to speaking with Evan Mark Katz. Stay with us. You're listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
Hello there. This is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
All the guys who make you feel uncomfortable, it's not their goal. How could I make her life miserable? How could I say something creepy? It's never the goal. It's the byproduct of their failures, right? Don't disappear. Don't lie. Let's meet. Let's see if there's chemistry. Let's go. So imagine you're at a bar. You got 50 guys lined up to give you the phone number. It's overwhelming. And that's what happens online. Attractive woman has guys just, let's meet. Let's meet. Phone numbers piling up, right? It's not the way women like to meet men. So what's a medium in which women do meet men, where men have to make them comfortable before they get their phone number? I call it real life. You remember real life. Right? Some of you do. Some of you don't. I'm 41, so I do. Before there was an internet, you would talk to people at parties and stuff. And so when a guy talks to a woman at a party, he doesn't tap her on the shoulder and be like, hey, you're wearing red. I like red. Here's my number. It'd be a terrible way to meet someone. That's what people do on the internet. You have a dog, I have a dog. Let's go on a date.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Evan Markatz, who is billed as the personal trainer for smart, strong, successful women. And he is a dating coach. And right before we came back, we listened to a little bit of a commentary from a TED Talk that you made, Evan. And, you know, it's very interesting because I think that we are discussing exactly, you know, how it is that you meet people. And of course, with times changing, everybody's trying to figure it out. Am I going to, you know, have to be able to meet somebody through a friend? Am I going to be able to meet them online? Am I going to meet them just at a function? And there's so many different ways, but it's exactly what it is that, or how, maybe you could talk a little bit about what it is that we feel is the best way to, you know, to connect when we're uncertain, I think, and mostly uncertain about ourselves.
Right. I mean, dating has this way of bringing out everybody's insecurities. My clients are smart, strong, successful women who have everything but the man. They're extremely confident in every other aspect of their life. And this is one puzzle that they've not been able to figure out. And so what we want to do is channel the same person you are with your best friend, or the same person you are at work, where you are happiest, most comfortable, most effective. How can we bring her out into the dating world? How would a confident woman tackle this problem? So when you're asking, you know, what's the best thing to do in X, Y, and Z situation, and there are a billion situations. That's why, you know, Love used a 6-month course. But if you're asking what's the best thing to do in any situation and you don't, you know, you haven't invested in a dating coach and you're not taking a class, ask yourself, how would a confident person handle this situation? And you can usually arrive at your own conclusion and draw the right conclusion. What would a confident person do here?
Unless you're not a confident person. And of course, then you struggle with that. But I do want to, you just mentioned, you know, your Love You curriculum, and you basically break it down into 6 steps, which you call the pyramid of love. And I would like to be able to take a couple minutes to basically go over what each of those steps are and understand why they are important when you're dating.
Yeah, I mean, the course kind of created itself. I was already coaching for 10 years when I came up with it, but it's 6 monthly modules. The first month is called Confidence. The second one is Meeting Men. The third one is Dating. So the first half of the course is all focused on what we've been talking about today, which is the dating process. And then the second half of the course is about relationships. Month 4 is Understanding Men. Month 5 is Relationships. And month 6 is Commitment. And each week unlocks, you know, a new module with like 10 3-minute videos. So it's really like a half hour a week, 5 minutes a day of material, walking you through all the questions we're talking about today are answered in this course. And then we have, you know, weekly coaching calls and an online community to discuss the nuances of all these ideas and how to apply them to your real life. So it's a massive online course, but it's doled out in small doses, so it's not overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, you said the first one is confidence, and I think we spend a lot of time talking about making time these days for self-care and having mental clarity. But how do you overcome, you know, the feeling that I'm going to end up alone? Or just even if you're dating and you've been rejected or it doesn't work out and you've tried and tried again. So, I mean, how do you get past that so that you do feel confident in putting yourself back out there again?
Sure. Well, again, I don't think anybody has, you know, a pill or, you know, quick, you know, button that you flip to gain confidence. We gain confidence through experience.
right? When we see success, it makes us more confident. When we are more confident, we have more success. You can see how this feeds on itself. So dating is just another skill, right? You could be in sales, that's a skill. You could be good with your hands, that's a skill. You could be a computer program, that's a skill. We never think of dating as a skill. If we look at it as something to be practiced, right, where we can look at our performance and learn from what works and what doesn't, now there's a path. We don't have to feel so hopeless or helpless in the face of failure. You're familiar with the concept of growth mindset, yes?
Yes.
I'm not, but so, okay. And maybe some people who are listening aren't, so could you explain it?
Well, sure. Fixed mindset means that you think you are essentially a finished product, right? That anything, you know, you already are the final version of yourself, and there's these very strict definitions on who you are and what you can accomplish. A growth mindset implies that everything is variable and that there's always an opportunity for growth. Just because I spent 50 years choosing emotionally unavailable men because my father left my mom when I was six doesn't mean that in year 51 I have to continue to choose emotionally unavailable men. We are always given a choice every decision is just a fork in the road. And if we have a history of making questionable decisions unconsciously in a way that we couldn't help, well, what are we going to do to produce a different result? So I don't blame anybody who says nothing works, right? Men are terrible, dating's terrible, J-date's terrible, my city's terrible, I'm meant to be alone. That's all the evidence that you have in your life is that that's true. But that's a limiting belief. That is only your experience so far. Very, very small sample size with no feedback on what you can do differently. So it's like being given like IKEA furniture without the directions. No one's been given directions on how to do this. And then we're surprised that it's hard. So all I'm trying to do is provide the directions so people don't have to kind of flail around blindly and wonder why is this so difficult. There's an answer to all of these questions.
Do you ever tell women that you're working with to change their looks, to work out? Like, how important is the physical, and is that part of what you teach?
No, that's not really what I teach. Because why does any woman need some male dating coach telling her that men are shallow and looks matter? Like, we have all the evidence in the world that that's true.
So do you tell them men tend to, like, you know, not gray hair, stuff like that? You know, do you do that?
No, you have to understand, my clients are invariably superstars. They're really the most amazing, impressive women. I'm so fortunate to be able to do this job. And everybody's focus is on the shallow portion of things. The shallow portion of things has so little to do with your dating success, right? And again, if you want to know what men find attractive, go find a woman's magazine. There's tons and tons of stuff out there that you don't need to hear from a male dating coach. Mm-hmm. You know that being thin gives you more options than being heavy. You know that dressing feminine, if you have cleavage, show your cleavage. If you have curves, show your curves. If you have good legs, show your legs. Like, you don't need, that's not dating coaching. So all of that remains true. But once you get past the initial attraction, right? Oh, he clicked on my profile. That's it. That's all that initial attraction. He clicked on my profile. Mm-hmm. Now the rest is my job, right?
Right.
It's mostly not changing yourself, changing your personality, changing your looks. Maybe 20% of Love You is on behavior modification. 80% of the job is choosing different men. If you choose different men, all your outcomes change.
My experience... Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please.
But I always say that when you're meeting guys, they don't have signs on their forehead that say schmuck or, you know, stay away or whatever. People put on a fake front. You know, I always think of the Billy Joel song, where people are not who they really are on dates for at least 6 months or so. So when you're saying it's about who you're picking and that's so important, how do you know who you're picking while everyone's putting on a persona to date?
So you're quoting the song
The Pretender,
Honesty, I believe.
No, for The Pretender.
The Pretender.
Okay. I think it's called The Pretender.
Well, I'm gonna quote An Innocent Man.
We all have a place that we hide away forever. That one. And we take it out and show ourselves whatever that one is. Yeah. Because I always say that you don't know who you're dating. You don't even know who you're marrying sometimes because that personality is being hidden.
Yeah. And then you tend to stay with the wrong person, maybe because you kind of think that you know who they are, but you really don't.
Yeah. So if that's your expertise, how does a woman know that this person is emotionally unavailable? And I was watching Bachelor in Paradise last night.
Oh, boy.
One guy, the woman.
You're spiraling out of control.
And Justinia was talking about how Andrew was emotionally unavailable, and then he meets another girl, and all of a sudden he's emotionally available. So, like, it's not the guy necessarily that you're picking. It's something that how he sees you. I don't know. That just came to my mind when you're saying it's about who you're picking. But go.
Okay. No, I'll do my best. I don't watch matchmaker shows, or bachelor shows, because they're so. It's everything that's wrong, right? It's everything about it is artificial. It is the worst way to find a relationship is to pit 25 people vying for one person in a competition with perfect conditions and dates. This is not the way people date. Let's go back to the original metaphor that you are the CEO and men are interns applying for a job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we... Before we give him health insurance after 3 months, what does he have to do? Well, he has to continue to prove himself over and over that he wants the job, that he's coming in early and he's staying late. And it's not just what he says, it's what he does, and it's how you feel. Do you feel safe, heard, and understood? Can you relax and let down your guard? Do his words match his actions? Are you ignoring red flags? All right. So when we're going through our process together, I won't let you go too far off course. No, you can't know if someone is your soulmate after 3 months. The idea that you could tell the future is impossible. I think I'm decent at my job. I can't tell the future either. But by making better choices in the first 6 weeks, by not getting into a relationship with someone early on where there are red flags and you're ignoring them, we're far more likely to have to course correct further down the road. So if we're working together, and even if we're not working together, I will share it with you. We don't take any chances on long distance relationships. We don't take any chances on guys who are recently separated or divorced. We don't take any chances on guys who aren't sure what they're looking for. If a guy doesn't know if he wants to get married, don't date him. If a guy isn't sure if he wants kids and you want kids, don't date him. So we eliminate all these questions from the beginning. And so dating becomes easy. 90% of people eliminate themselves for various reasons in that first month before you decide if he's a boyfriend. And if you have a guy who's treating you right, doing everything right, making you feel safe, following up in between dates, wanting to commit, right, wanting to integrate you into his life, now that he's your boyfriend, he's not your husband yet. You can't figure out if he's your husband. You're the CEO. You keep evaluating his performance. And as his performance starts to slip, because you're right, everybody auditions to get the job at the beginning, and then their personality reveals itself 3 to 6 months in. Right? You don't stay with him for 2 years trying to bring back the first 3 months. You dump him after 6 months. It's not a perfect process. It's just better than all the other processes.
Okay, I have a question. How is it that you get this clientele that's all these, you know, they seemingly perfect women?
That's not seemingly perfect women. We're all imperfect. My point is these are women who are objectively catches, whatever that means. And but I think they self-identify. They are college-educated, six-figure earners.
I was going to say they can afford him. So they're making a lot of money.
I mean, they're they're your friends. They're my friends. They're women who are generally mid-30s to late-60s who have everything objectively in their life except for the thing that they want the most. And because this is difficult, and just listen to our conversation, and we could probably have a four-hour conversation about it and it wouldn't be enough. So instead of trying to jam this all into one phone session, we say, hey, I'm going to give you this course with all of these ideas, 280 videos, lifetime access to this library of ideas, and we're going to meet on a coaching call for 2 hours a week, a whole bunch of women on Zoom, hashing out these ideas and asking questions. And it's a way to put dating front and center, so this doesn't have to be confusing or frustrating or mysterious. There's absolutely a better way to go about dating than the way that most people do, in the same way that there's ways to do anything. And again, there's so many things in the world that I can't do. It's why I hire people. I can't build the website. I can't do my own graphic design. There's many, many pieces of this business that I'm not qualified to do. And so you pay a specialist to do the things that you can't do.
I just don't think that, you know, people were prepared in terms of, you know, you found your soulmate, or so you thought, and then it ends up that it doesn't work out. And now you're not prepared. Life changes. Obviously, you're not prepared for all of these things. And I mean, yeah, maybe they do need to, you know, speak to somebody like you who can provide them with an entire 6-month curriculum on educating yourself on what the next step is. And one of the things that I hear a lot about, and I'm kind of changing gears again because we have a limited amount of time left, but we were talking about the red flags that come up. And I often hear from a lot of people, because you're trying to fit, you know, a square peg into a round hole. You're trying to make it work a lot of the times, and sometimes it just doesn't. But I have friends who say, I love the fact that he's, you know, I'm intellectually connected to him, that he's in like close to me geographically, that, you know, he's a family guy, but I'm just not physically attracted to him. And I think that
well, then there's no relationship.
I think it's hard to do. A lot of people have, that's where I've seen women date this man, that they feel this way about, you know, months until they, you know, well, maybe I should give it a try. Well, maybe it'll develop. I mean, I listened to my grandmother, and I know that it's different now than it was then. But, you know, you learn to love somebody, was what my grandmother used to tell me. And, you know, I was going to say, you know, a lot of, and Alana will tell you, but a lot of, you know, Jewish people are matched, they're put together, and they don't even have that originally. So I think a lot of people hang on that hope. You know, and I know you do a whole segment that you talk about sex and the significance of that in a relationship. But I think most of us will agree, at least, that the physical attraction is a key element. So like you say, if it's not there, it's not there. But I think a lot of people just don't wrap their heads around it, that it's a reason that they should move on.
Right. And so what we see, the original premise is that people waste their time. And so if you take some of this under advisement, I mean, I don't expect anybody to, you know, agree with everything I say. I don't take it personally, but we're trying to eliminate people who aren't right for you. The quicker we eliminate people who aren't right, what emerges is people who are right. So most people are going about this backwards. They're looking for, where's my husband? Where's my husband? Are you my husband? Can I tell from your bio? Can I tell from one profile? There's this one weird thing in one of your pictures. That must mean you're not my husband. And we're trying to figure way too much out. What we're trying to do is eliminate people. Not my husband. Not my husband. Not my husband. Next. 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 We're not trying to bend over backwards to try to accommodate something. That's how people end up settling. You stay with a guy because he's Jewish and he's rich, but he's emotionally distant and he's highly critical of you. But, well, at least he's Jewish and he's rich, so I guess I'm going to figure out how to make this work. This is not the path to success. We have to be able to say no, 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 faster.
I mean, I think we had such a great education just in this 1 hour alone, and I'm appreciative of your patience with us, because we did try and cover a lot of topics, and unfortunately we are out of time. But I do want to give our listeners a chance to hear from you where they can find your books and where they can find information about the Love You podcast and, of course, your class that you do.
My name's Evan Marcatz. My website is evanmarcatz.com. You could click on the link that says Love You. You could fill out an application, and we can get on the phone and talk for an hour about where you're at in your love life and schedule a free breakthrough call.
I am on every platform. I got a YouTube channel and an Instagram account and a blog and a podcast and called the Love You Podcast. So all you have to do is Google Evan Mark Katz and come to my website and give me your email address, and I'll send you free dating and relationship advice until you don't need free dating and relationship advice.
And that's what we're all looking for. Thank you so much, Evan Mark Katz, for joining us on Jewish Singles Radio. And be sure to tune in to Jewish Singles Radio live broadcast every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. right here on WWDB AM 860 or WPEN 97.5 HD2. You can also listen to our podcast on demand at WWDBAM.com. And be sure to like and follow us on social media.